Blog Talk Radio.
I'm in beast mode. 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 Beast mode. Beast mode. Beast mode. I'm in beast mode. Beast mode. Beast mode. Beast mode. I'm in beast mode.
The king's people, dog, is who we are. Excuse my yelling, man, I'm kinda working on my roar. While the world tries to persecute me, the line of Judas with me, nothing you can do to me. If he be lifted up, he'll draw all men. Covered by his blood, hashtag all in. I'm suited up, man, I know you hear the armor clanking. Walking, fighting against the spirit, no time for fleshly banging.
No time for fleshly
banging. Ain't got no time for the naysayers. I can do all things, cause I'm strengthened by my savior. Heal the sick, raise the dead, and make the lame walk. But you gotta fast and pray, I tell you, dog. That's kingdom talk.
Kingdom talk. Kingdom
I've been
talk.
Saved and I ain't turning back. Going hard for the kingdom till the day the sky cracks. Life eternally. Man, can you picture that? Paid for by the cross that he bore on his back.
On
the
his
kingdom
back.
Being preached sea to sea and coast to coast. Powered by the Holy Ghost.
I'm in beast mode. 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 Beast mode. Beast mode. Beast mode. I'm in beast mode. Beast mode. Beast mode. Beast mode. I'm in beast mode.
Welcome back, good people, to another edition of Kingdom Talk Radio. You know who this is, man. This is your humble host, Tony Dyson. Let's set this show in order from the beginning. Giving honor to God, whom every day I make a conscious decision to be the head of my life. To my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, from whom all blessings flow. To my pastor, Bishop Anthony Taylor of the New Hope Worship Center. To my wife and all of you, the listeners that continue to listen to Kingdom Talk Radio. What's going on, people? Man, so here we are, Valentine's Day, December 2017. I put out a challenge on yesterday, man. I know that on Valentine's Day, you know what, before I go there, let me apologize, man. I forgot that when the show starts that my mic automatically unmutes, so I was trying to get my chest and get my throat together and drink some water and stuff, you know what I'm saying, trying to prepare, and I looked up and see that my mic was hot. I'm like, oh, man. So, look, hey, forgive me, y'all, you know what I'm saying, for just hawking all in your ear and stuff, you know, drinking water and clearing my throat, but, you know, continue to pray for me. So, as I was saying, you know, it's Valentine's Day, and, you know, we want to run out and show our significant others how much we love them. And people, that's all fine and dandy. I mean, like, seriously, if that's what floats your boat, if that's your thing, by all means, go out and buy some roses. Matter of fact, I'll give you my order, too, if you could just put a little something on it for me. We want to go out and buy the flowers and the candy and things like that. And look, I'm not knocking it, okay? If that's what you do, that's what you do. I look at it like this, and y'all know me. I'm a realist about a lot of things. I've been married to my wife almost 11 years. March 5th, it will be 11 years. And I look at every day that I wake up next to her, And I'm privileged to lay down next to her, and I'm privileged to be with her and hold her hand and walk through this journey that we call marriage together. I'm privileged that we follow Jesus Christ together. I'm privileged that she has allowed me to be the priest of our home, you know what I'm saying, and the head of the marriage outside of Christ, which y'all know what I'm saying. I'm privileged that she, you know, has put faith and confidence in me as being her husband, as being my helpmeet, that loves me and cherishes me and submits. Now, we've talked about that, but y'all, y'all biblically know what I'm talking about. So one day with me going all out, it's not going to change that. We got up this morning, man, like any other day. I gave her a big hug and a kiss on her way to, you know, when she walked out the door. I called her during lunch. Hey, babes, for supper. She's like, nothing at this job. Yada, yada, yada. All right, baby, I'll see you when you get home. All right, sweetie, talk to you later. You know, and that was it. Now, tomorrow, see, everything going to be half off. You know what I'm saying? Candy, yeah, look out. Walmart, Walgreens, Family Dollar. You know what I'm saying? Here we come. I am going on a chocolate spree tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? And that's how we do it. For Easter candy and Halloween candy and Christmas candy. That's what we do. And I just look at it like this, man. At the end of the day, February 14th is supposed to be the day they say it's supposed to be the day of love. But who said that it had to be only for your significant other? I put out a challenge just to bless someone. If you're at the gas station, the grocery store, you're getting something to eat. If you have it, try to bless someone else. You know what I'm saying? And spread love from one human to another. You know what I'm saying? Because the way that they have it right now, it's like humanity is doomed. We don't love one another. We can't do anything for one another without strings being attached. And if that doesn't move you, at the end of the day, there's a man named Jesus that so loved the Father that he followed his will to restore us back unto him, that he hung up on a tree, man, and didn't say a mumbling word. He loved us so much that he took upon the sins and the weight of the world and he died. But he rose again with all power in his hand. And the thing about it is that when he rose again with all power in his hand, he didn't say, man, I died for y'all and y'all still gonna mess up. I died for Tony and I know he still gonna mess up. He say, no, I'm going to give the keys to the kingdom to the disciples and teach and have them teach you all how to use it. So February 14th, man, it's like I look at it. I understand the concepts, but if we're walking in Christ and walking in the kingdom mindset and kingdom mentality, that's our mindset every day. You know, every day that I finish the show, every Tuesday I say, I love you, and there's nothing you could do about it. And that is true. I want to give a huge shout out, man, to one of the faithful listeners of Kingdom Talk Radio, one of the mothers of my church, Mother Amelia Boyd. She turned, well, I can't say it. She's wise. She still travels. I mean, every time you look up, she's going out of town. And I really thank her for holding me accountable for Kingdom Talk Radio. And as being one of the elder mothers of the church, of our church, it really inspires me to go on because here I am, you know, quite a few years younger than her. And I'm into the gospel rap and, you know, the gospel praise and things like that. And she still continues to listen in. I bless God for it, and I thank God for it. And, you know, when I don't broadcast, you know, she gets on me when she sees me on Sundays. So, Mother Boyd, I know you're a few words. I won't bring you on tonight, but I just want to say once again, knocking over my mic, happy birthday to you. And may God continue to bless you with many, many more. So, y'all know what time it is right now, man. Oh, you know what? Before I do that, if you're listening, if you're streaming through your cell phone, iPod, iPad, whatever, Samsung, whatever, LG, whatever, you can join right on in with this conversation tonight, 347-996-5129. The name of the title of this show is Faith, the Invisible Power, all right? So I hadn't checked my reports on Blog Talk for quite some time. So I ended up checking it last night. It gives me a geographical breakdown. And oh my God, was I like floored. Australia, there are people in Australia and Tanzania, I think I said it right, charge it to my head, not my heart. Australia listens to Kingdom Talk Radio. Nigeria, Ghana, Italy. There are people from Italy listening to Kingdom Talk Radio. Norway, outside of the U.S., outside of the continental United States, Norway has the next highest listen rate of Kingdom Talk Radio. People, that is like crazy. I thank God just for being able to be a vessel, man, to continue to spread the gospel of the kingdom. So we're going to move along with the show, man. Y'all know what time it is. It's time for Can I Holler at You, my boy Darren Johnson. So we'll be right back with more Kingdom Talk on Blog Talk very, very shortly.
What up, world? Once again, blessed and fortunate to be able to be a part of this thing called life. It's another week. It's another episode of Kingdom Talk. And thank God we're here once again for me to find out if I can holler at you. So, this week, I've had to reflect on a few things that I've been presented with, things that I've seen. And something that really came to me was the difference in the significance of these two words and how they have no relationship with each other, but they go with each other so well, all while they should be completely separated from one another. I know you're thinking, man, what's this brother talking about? What is he talking about? So over the past week, the two words, the two things that I was thinking about was rebellion and repentance. Rebellion and repentance. So from a dictionary standpoint, rebellion is the act of violent or open resistance to a established government or ruler. It'll expand and go on to say it's the act of resisting authority. And its synonyms are defiance and disobedience. And we understand how disobedience and defiance and those things kind of tie in biblically. And then we all know what repentance is from a biblical aspect. But from a Webster's aspect, it is sincere regret or remorse. It also goes on to say that it's used to signify a change of mind. You know, we know about repentance and having a changed mind and a changed heart. You're turning away from sin. You're turning away from a particular thing. And rebellion is the refusal to do just that. It's the refusal to submit to authority. It's the refusal to submit to an established government, the government that shall be upon the shoulders. This established thing, it's a rebellion of that. And so why this fell on my heart so tough is I came across a situation where I was able to see somebody that had been so rebellious. And mind you, when I say somebody, please understand that this can be any one of us, any situation, anything in our past. But just as for this, I guess you could say reference or to kind of get back to, this person was so rebellious to leadership, even though they had chose to come under the leadership as a method to direct them towards the right steps for their life, even their steps for other people's lives. Guidance, mentorship, whatever you choose to call it. This person was seeking that, but all while seeking it was refusing to submit to the direction of the higher up, which they said that they wanted. Lo and behold, things came about that happened in this individual's life that were exactly how the leadership said they would happen if they did not submit to what thus said the Lord for the ways that he had ordered for their life and how things should go according to his word. So now that this person has fallen, they feel that it's okay to have walked in rebellion because I have a fallback plan called repentance. And I know there's a whole lot of people that's going to disagree with what I'm getting ready to say, but I want you to understand that repentance is not a fallback plan. Repentance is your plan A, and that is it. If you have any other mind other than repenting, such as continuing in it one more again, or I'm just going to go do it one more time, that is not repentance. You do not have a change of mind or a change of heart. That's a reprobate mind, a mind that's locked in, a rebellious mind, an open resistance to established government or ruler, the resisting of authority. Everybody's not going to like that. The reason why everybody's not going to like it, because people know in their mind it is wrong, but they want to keep walking the same way that they've been walking and not want to have to be held accountable. And I could go a whole lot of places, but I want to be mindful of my time, and I want to be in decency and order for this segment. So before I leave out of here, I want you to reflect over a few things, a few nuggets. What or who has dominion in or over your life? Are you currently operating out of rebellion to authority, resistance to government, rulers, or leadership? This could be on your job. This could be in your household. This could be something as simple as wives submitting to your husbands. And I don't mean you got to walk in with your head bowed, but y'all know what I mean. Being submissive to your husband. This could be husbands being submissive unto Christ. Hello. And also, what has dominion over your life? I appreciate y'all time and everything. Holla at me in these streets, man. I want to know what y'all thinking. What would y'all like to talk about for this short time that we have together? Let's stay encouraged. Let's build the body. I love y'all. One love. And I just got to know if I can holla at you. Be easy.
Okay. This that dude Will Rock, man.
Will Rock.
A reflection of Christ.
Reflection of Christ.
And I'm here to tell you that we don't battle against flesh and blood, but evil spirits and wickedness in high places, man.
Yeah.
So stand guard.
Stand guard.
And prepare for war.
Prepare.
So all you soldiers, mount up, man.
When the enemy come against you, do you run?
No, never.
Do you go in the sky and say that you are done?
No, never.
Do you shrink and go back until you see?
No, never.
Giving up in the fight when you already win?
No, never.
No, never.
No, never.
No, never.
No,
no, never.
No, never.
When you see your brother falling,
all right. Before I get too amped up in this place, I just had to play that just to transition, man, just to give us a pause right there, right quick. Get us a sip of soda or something, because that was good meat right there, man. That was really, really good meat. And you know what? We're going to do a show on that. Really, repentance or rebellion? My. He didn't start it something. So we're going to have to holler at him. All right, y'all. I got a guest tonight, man, and he's been patiently waiting. We've been, you know, kind of acquainted back and forth on Facebook, man, and, you know, kind of tag him here. He comments there. But I do know, you know, from the followings of his posts, and I'm pretty sure that he's done with me, that he loves God. And me personally, that is good enough for me, man. So I want to introduce to some and present to others, Brother Ron Nesbitt. What is going on, sir?
Not a whole lot, Tony. Thanks for letting me be on your show tonight. I greatly appreciate it.
I appreciate the work that God is doing, man, by us just being able to come together in fellowship, man. That is truly great. You know, the word says how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I know that, you know, the stuff that you do or the stuff that I do, you know, Philippians 4:13, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But I know that we can't do these things on our own. You know what my wife and I have started, or what God started within us that we're sharing. We can't do these things on our own, man. It's crazy, man, and it goes to the subject of your topic tonight of just having faith. You know, we just started moving forward in faith, and God just keeps opening doors. It's exciting and it's scary all at once. Probably like your radio show was when you first started, man. It's you look and you're like, I can't do this. But you know God's calling you to do it, and you start, and you're like, okay, well, he opened that door. Okay, well, now he opened another one. It just keeps unfolding and manifesting, and it, you know, exponentially grows. And, you know, it's just an abundance of God's blessings that pour out on us when we're faithful.
Yes, sir. One of the great things about me, man, I've always been able to talk. So, you know, radio it was an easy transition for me.
Fair enough.
Well, Ron, as we, you know, move on along the night, man, kind of tell the people really who you are, you know, and what you do.
So, I don't know where to start. I'm a chiropractor. Got a little nickname. They call me hashtag Dr. Feelgood. But ultimately, my wife and I started going up. We met a guy, and I don't know how many of your listeners are familiar with a man named Otis Woodard. You might be or not. He's in College Park neighborhood, up around North Grand. And we got introduced to him, and we started helping his ministry down at Peace Park. We go down there, you know, 5 or 6 times a year, drop some stuff off, kind of pat ourselves on the back and feel good about ourselves. And at least I did. My wife she always wants to do more. She wants to give more and more and more and more. So he passed away right around 2 years ago, and soon after, my wife said, you know, you're going to have to pick a day to take off because God's calling me. He's at least calling me to go down there and on a weekly basis and start providing clothes and food for a lot of people that live down there because they just don't have the means to get what they need. So we started going down there every Tuesday, and then as we became familiar with a lot of the people in the neighborhood, needs started getting greater, and we started asking people for more stuff. And, you know, we consistently went down there and just followed what God's plan was for us. At least we thought we were. And, I mean, we just knew that as we started asking people, they, you know, we decided, you know, we really probably need to become a nonprofit organization. And we prayed a lot about it, and we got some help, and we became what's called the House of Zadok. And I don't know how many, some people are familiar with them and some people are not. Zadok was a high priest during the time of King David, especially the revolt of his son Absalom, and he stood by David and helped him win that battle. He was also very instrumental in bringing King Solomon to power. And he actually anointed King Solomon into power. And Zadok stands for righteous. It's Hebrew for righteous. So what more could really ask for other than, you know, a house of righteousness? And it's got a lot of personal meaning. I'm not going to get into too much of that because I will probably run out of your hour. But basically, we just want to be a local organization, and we have a little tagline is called Families Helping Families. We get help from lots of families, not just at our church, but there's some out in St. Charles, and just everybody helps out. We find out the needs of people. We post it on Facebook, and people just provide, or God provides, and it's amazing what He does for us. So as we're going through this, I've prayed a lot about it, and I said, you know, we're just helping people live in poverty, and I didn't want to take away from helping people out, because we're helping people out. But I knew that there's a greater calling and a greater need for the community, but I didn't know what it was, and I didn't know how to do it. And, you know, again, through prayer, God, what do you want us to do? Because you're telling me, I can feel you telling me that this isn't enough. And I read some things here and there, and it said, you know, outreach has to be more than bringing people clothes and food. And originally I was offended by that, and I'm like, well, we're doing a good thing, man. And then I started realizing it does have to be more, you know. So I'm like, okay, well, what do you want me to do, God? How am I going to help these people? Because I don't have money to give anybody. And you're not going to help anyone escape poverty by giving them money anyway. At least 99% of the people blow the money and they'll stay in poverty. And I don't have great financial skills to tell anybody what to do. And if they have no money and I give them financial advice, that's not going to help anyway, right? So that leads me to my profession as a chiropractor. Well, I really can't teach people to be a chiropractor. I probably don't have that kind of time. And so it led me to my other, I guess, skill, so to speak, that God's gifted me with is I grew up, I wrestled a little bit in college. I coach wrestling at a high school level right now. This is one of the most exciting times of the year for me because we're coming up on the state wrestling tournament. And he just felt that, you know, to reach the young kids, to reach the young boys, to gather them together and start a wrestling club. Wrestling's taught me so many things in life, and so many other people I run into. It's such an amazing sport to teach us self-discipline and self-respect and respect for others. You know, it's right up there with what martial arts is kind of does. And so our goal, once we're going to get through this wrestling season here this weekend and start looking basically for a place to put some mats down and start coaching some kids in wrestling and just give them something to do and wear them out. They'll go home and sleep and be tired and they'll behave maybe. But, you know, we just want to love on people basically and help them wherever we can. This is the dream goal of House of Zadok and the spinoff of the Zadok Wrestling Club is that not only do we plan to teach kids to wrestle, we're going to have Bible studies. Well, that's the most important thing is help them connect to our Savior Jesus Christ, okay, and understand that there is a plan for their life. No matter what they think or what they see, there's a plan for their life, and we all have those paths to follow, you know. And understand that God's given everybody a gift. But God didn't want us to keep that gift. He wants us to give it to the next person in line. You know, He's given me a gift of doing these, of wrestling, which I'm not I was never an incredibly great wrestler, a gifted wrestler, but I can do pretty good, you know. And I can teach some kids how to wrestle. But, so I got to give that back. But more importantly, I got to give back the nurturing part of my life that God gave me and help people come in touch with their gift. Because when you give your gift that God gave you, it then grows even bigger in you. And it just, it overwhelms me. I mean, I'm so excited about what's going on, but I'm scared to death, but I'm so excited. So we want to do that. We also want to connect with some folks, whether it's, I know there's another ministry up in North St. Louis that does, helps kids learn to read and stuff like that. So an interesting, what I've been told by several people that when they want to learn how to build a new prison, they go to the third grade and find out the literacy rate of the kids in the third grade. And based on the amount of kids that can't read in the third grade, they know how big to build the prison. I said, well, we got to teach kids to read. So, you know, we're going to have tutoring, whether it's through us exactly or through another organization. We got to teach these kids to read and become educated. And then obviously we get to wrestle, which is the most fun part of all for me. And you know what? Through the end of it, we're probably going to start around age 5 or 6. And through the end of it, you know, they can, I don't care how long, they can be 28 years old and come to a wrestling practice if they want, I guess, but if we have the room. But when they graduate high school, you know, what we hope to be able to do is help them achieve either an athletic scholarship, an academic scholarship, or that we have a big enough foundation we can help them go to school somewhere. And it might not be college, you know. Everybody always wants to go to college. And that's not always the path for everybody. That's not God's path plan for everybody. Maybe it's trade school.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be in a trade. I used to do HVAC work. I wasn't meant to be an HVAC person. I could do it. I could fake my way through. I was not mechanically inclined. Some people have that gift, and we'll try to send those people to that, you know, to HVAC, to automotive, to carpentry, to electricity, whatever their gift is, we'll help them try to find it and share it and encourage them to build and grow. And then there's those that will become college students, and we hope that as we help some of these kids, that when they go on to become successful, then they turn around and want to give back. And that's what's going to change a community, change a generation and a community. And I hope that there's spinoffs of it. If I do it wrong, I hope somebody comes in and shows me how to do it right. And if I do it right, I hope I get to show somebody how to do it right in another city, in another town, across the nations. And it doesn't have to be wrestling. It can be whatever. Whatever the situation is, we just got to get down and, you know, when people start helping people, everybody just comes together and nobody hates one another. No, everybody just loves on one another. And there's too much hatred and too much BS going on in this world. Pardon me, but it's just what it is. And I'm tired of it. And this is what God's given me to do. And I'm blessed to be in that position. You know, when I get to speak with kids and work with kids down there, it's just, you know, it warms my heart, and I love it, you know. There's so many things that can come out of this that's amazing, and I'm hoping at some point. Have you ever heard of Tyrone Woodley?
Yes, yeah, I know Tyrone personally.
Okay, so he's the UFC welterweight champion, went to McClure High School, wrestled at Mizzou. And so, I mean, he's a local guy that, you know, at some point I hope I get to meet with him and encourage him to speak to some of these guys and tell them what, you know, wrestling's done for him. I recently ran across a guy, Wayne Roberson. I believe his son's wrestling for McClure North. I can't remember. He wrestled back in the 80s. Wayne did. And he was, you know, I overheard him speaking to one of our other coaches, and he's saying, you know, he's talking about how wrestling saved his life, kept him off the streets. Sports is a great venue. It's a great thing that just draws people. It draws them together, and in some ways, I guess it divides them because you know everybody's got their favorite teams, but not in the way that, you know, is causing people to be divided the way we are now. It just brings people together, and it's a great opportunity. Just to share love of Christ with everybody. I think I told you I could talk forever, and I know I run on, and I got rabbit trails that go here and here, but I don't know. I mean, that's kind of what we're doing. It's exciting, man.
That's what's up, man.
You know?
That's real good stuff, man. I mean, and, you know, and as you stated, you know, it kind of goes along with the topic, and we pretty much go ahead and roll that on in, man. As the topic is about faith tonight, you know, the invisible power. And one of the things that I really personally look at about faith is it takes us to manifest faith. I mean, it's like when... And I would really go back, like, back when we were young, Brother Ron. It's like when we're young, you know, 8 months, you know, year and a half, 2 years old, and if I may be so bold to say so, I think during that time frame that we are actually walking in our total God-given right at that point in time. And I know someone is out there like, at two? What do you mean? But this is what I look at. When we're about that age, and as you watch kids about that age, there are some things that they're perfectly independent upon. They know that they can get up by themselves. They can kind of navigate and walk by themselves. They can pick up certain things by themselves. And they're very confident that they can do it, but they continue to enhance that. You know, one day it's a golf ball, then a tennis ball, then maybe a soccer ball, you know what I'm saying, and a beach ball. You know, it keeps growing with them. And There are other times during that time frame, like they may be walking alone, and they may stumble and they fall. And when they stumble and they fall, they look for whomever is, I don't want to say in charge of them, but whomever they know will make things okay.
Right.
And even further from there, when they look for, you know, whomever they know is going to make things okay, if you watch certain kids, like if they fall down and scuff their knee and nobody's around, sometimes they pick themselves up and they keep it moving. But There are other times that when they fall and they look around, if they make eye contact with someone that they know, you know what I'm saying, is there to comfort, you know, they're going to cry and give the tears and things like that. And lastly is when they want something. Like if there's a cookie on top of the refrigerator, well, not a cookie, but a pack of cookies. You're like, how does a cookie get on the refrigerator? But if there's like a pack of cookies on the refrigerator, or you open the refrigerator and they see juice or milk or whatever the case may be, they speak it. You know what I'm saying? And I really think that that is huge, that it really shows and it captures how we're really made in God's image and his likeness. And that little child is exercising faith beyond measure, because it's like once we get grown and we get jobs, and as my grandma would say, you know, we start smelling ourselves, you know, we feel like that we can do it all. Well, I go to work, so that means I can eat what I want to eat, when I want to eat it, where I want to eat it, how I want to eat it. But that child is saying pretty much, hey, I'm here existing. Someone else is responsible for me. They are responsible to make sure I have clean clothes, responsible that I eat, responsible that I am bathed, you know, responsible for a roof over me. And, you know, and the more I sit back and I look at that, I'm like, man, God, I really, really have to get back to that point of faith in my life. Unfortunately, it seems like that life comes at us so fast now. Things come at us so fast, especially when you have a family and you're responsible for more people than yourselves, that, you know, the light bill comes and the gas bill comes, and then, but I got to go to the grocery store. Then you go to the grocery store, then next you get the yellow light bill and the yellow gas bill, but the kids need basketball shoes for basketball. Then that pink bill comes, and you're like, okay, God, you're going to have to, you know, step in. And, Brother Ron, I'm telling you, man, that force of faith. I watched this show, this movie, man, a little while back called Little Boy. Did you ever see that?
I have not.
Oh, my God. Okay. This show called Little Boy. And the little boy was probably about 7, 8 years old. And he was, you know, smaller than the rest of the kids in his class, and you know, they just kind of coined him the little boy. I believe that this movie took place around the time of the Vietnam War, I believe. And if I'm wrong, if someone is listening and seeing that, please correct me. But I'm going to take Vietnam War for 200, Alex.
I just pulled it up. It says World War II.
World War II. So I was completely wrong. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you. I hope that wasn't my double jeopardy question, by the way, as well.
The amazing internet. Google does a wonderful thing.
I know. So what happens is his father gets whisked off to war. Okay? So while his father is off at war, his father was like his best friend. His father would play with him and roughhouse with him, giggle with him, laugh with him. You know, his father was his absolute best friend. And when his father left, little boy felt like his whole world was kind of turned upside down. His father was whisked all the way on the other side of the planet there. And some things started happening. The little boy started wishing some things and praying for some things and acting for some things. So this one particular scene, the pastor or the priest in the movie kept telling the little boy, your faith can move mountains. The faith of a mustard seed can move a mountain, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And in this particular town that they were in, there was a huge mountain, like, off in the distance on the horizon. So one day, the little boy started missing his father so much that he stood in the middle of the street, and he just started pointing at the mountain. And he's thinking, you know, sending the vibes toward the mountain. This mountain is going to move so my father can come home. This mountain is going to move so my father can come home. So he's pointing at this mountain, and he's thinking about his father, and a crowd starts to gather. The kids are laughing and pointing. The grown people, the grown-ups are like, what is this little boy doing? You can't move that mountain, little boy. And he's being ridiculed and he's being laughed at. And he's putting all his energy into moving this mountain. And all of a sudden, the ground began to shake. Okay? And when that ground began to shake, the people started taking off in all directions. Like, what is going on? And the next day, there was a huge headline in the newspaper, Little Boy Moves Mountain. Now, what really happened, there was an earthquake that took place. However, the movie encaptured the little boy's faith. So with his faith, he moved that mountain. Now, in the Vietnam War, World War II, do you remember what ended World War II, Brother Ryan?
The bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, I believe.
And do you remember what the name of that bomb was?
The atomic bomb.
And they nicknamed it Little Boy.
I did not know that.
Yes, well, in the movie anyway, they did.
Okay.
So, as this little boy is running through the town saying, my father is coming home, my father is coming home, and every time he got really, like, serious about his father coming home, his father would be in a gunfight. Some of the other soldiers around his father would get killed, but he didn't. And at the end, his father got captured, and he was a POW. And this is right after they dropped the bomb. And they were getting ready to actually execute all of the soldiers that they had captured. And a army battalion shows up. His father takes off running. And he was shot. But I forgot what it was. There was something where he was shot that was of his son. And it saved his life. And he ended up being found and brought home. So at the end of the day, this little the movie encaptured the little boy's faith bringing his father home.
You know, my wife and I talk about it all the time. It's just, you know, a lot of times it's not that we lose faith. We forget even the small things. We forget to ask God about. And I know I do, thinking that maybe he doesn't have time for this, or you know, this is a small thing. And then the big things we hold in our mind, we think, well, this is too big a thing, and or I need it now, and I'm not going to wait. And we just got to hold on to that faith that God's going to get us through. I mean, we should have lost our house, I don't know, some years ago. And, I mean, God just kept opening doors and waiting and protecting us. I mean, we just acted it. We went in faith. And knowing that God's going to carry us through whatever we do. This ministry is all in faith. I mean, it's nothing I wanted to do in a way as far as starting it. Scares me. But as I said, on the cover of a book I'm reading, it says if your dreams aren't if your dreams don't scare you, they're not big enough. And, you know, when they scare you, you got to have faith to move forward. And you just got to move one step at a time. We don't have to take every step all at once. And too many times we think we got to get from point A, you know, to point B without stopping at A1, A2, A3, A4. We try to eat the elephant all in one bite, or, you know, there's many little sayings that we can throw on it. And it's just understanding, as I spoke to you earlier, I can go back 4.5, 5 years in the process of this whole thing getting put together, of how God put different things in my life that I thought were a provision for my family. You know, my job as a wrestling coach, I thought was a great provision for my family at the time, and it's led to this. It was nice that he did that for us and gave us a provision for my family, but that wasn't the end.
Right.
You know, we think that's the end. Oh, great. This came right on time and I needed this money, and that's why God gave me this job. It's because, you know, he wanted me to do this. He wanted the house of Zadok. And I don't know what the house of Zadok is, but it's going to go into something different. You know, you and I met, or we're in the same in a room together. We didn't even meet, and it led to this conversation this evening. And we don't know where this conversation is going to lead to, but it's having that faith and that trust that there's a bigger plan. It's always bigger than what we think it is, and it's having that faith that, okay, God's going to do this. God's going to. We don't have a building. We don't have the money for a building for a wrestling room down there, but. The way this thing has started, I've got faith that God's going to provide it. He's going to give it to us, you know. We need a truck to pick up some of the stuff that we take to people. We have faith that God's going to get us a truck when we need it. In the meantime, we're able to borrow trucks. So that's good.
Right.
You know, there's just, it's just having faith that we know God's going to do it. And we're thankful, and we just, you know, we just wait to see what he's going to do next. Sometimes we try to force it, and, you know, it doesn't work out so well when we try to force it. You know, so
one of the biggest things that one of my sayings when I get off the air is what my church says. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I kind of go back, you know, even in Genesis, when God created the earth, it states perfectly. The earth was without form and it was void. And God said, let there be light. And the word states that, and then it was light. And it's crazy because it's like God is speaking to something that has no shape, no texture, no light, no anything. And I mean, as I really look at that and I try to encapture that, it's like, how many times in our lives are we standing in the midst of darkness? Are we standing in the midst of mess? And we can easily speak our way out, but we choose to fumble around in the dark. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And it's like that level, and if I'm saying this appropriately, the level of faith that God had in himself, like, I'm God, and I'm saying that there has to be light, so there must be light. And then he extended himself when he made us, created us in his image and his likeness, and says, now you have the same dominion that I exercise. But it's like many times when we lose our way, when we lose our path, we try to backtrack, which sometimes gets us back into deeper messes, instead of having that faith in God that he had in that he has in us, because he empowered us to be able to speak our way out of situations.
Right. You know, I think a lot of that goes... It's in Isaiah 55:9, and I'm not a biblical scholar by any means. I have the internet right in front of me, son. I search things up, but it talks about for just as heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And we forget that. So when things don't mesh with our thoughts, we just think they must be wrong. But his thoughts are higher than ours. You know, when we go, you know. My wife and I, we went to see if we could get a new van, and you know the cool thing was we did. We went to that in faith, and we said this is the payment we can make, and if you can't match it, then we're good. We're gonna walk away, and you know at car dealerships they sit there and say, well, you said you know I know you said you could only do 300. We got down to 340 or whatever your payment might be. You know, it's only $40 more per month, and it's like, nope. We said, you know, this is what it is. And you know, if you're out buying a car, you got to have a set price, and you got to be willing to walk away. We were going to walk away on the last van we bought over $2 a month because they told us on the phone.
Yeah.
You know this. Yeah, we'll do that for you. And when we got up there, they said, you know what, we forgot about something, and it's going to be, you know, $2 more per month. And we both got up and started to walk away. And he goes, you're going to walk out over $2? Yep.
I sure am.
You got to keep your word. You told us it was this. And you know what, they took it off there. But, you know, like I said, it was a few weeks ago, and we're like, God, here, this is what we're going to do. We prayed about it. Felt that, you know, this was the right price that we could do, and you know, we had faith that we did the right thing, and God's going to honor that, and I just look at it this way. He's got a bigger, you know, I believe that the next van we get is going to be a brand new one instead of a used one, and it's going to have all the bells and whistles we want rather than a plain Jane model. But you know, we try to force things because we think, well, because, you know, we're not living in that faith. We're messing it all up in our heads because our thoughts aren't his thoughts. We got to realize that his thoughts are greater than ours. You know, so I realize that with this ministry that we're doing, like I said, that's not the end of it. His thoughts are greater than that. And I can't wait to see what he does with it. And as I understand it now, you know, I love talking about it because it just opens my eyes to more and more things, and it just draws me closer to God. So I appreciate you letting me talk about this. It's just, you know, like I said, it to me, it's exhilarating. It's really exciting to see what God's going to do and how he's going to bring a community together. And I just can't wait. And I can't wait to see what he does after that, because it's going to be bigger than that.
Right.
You know, he doesn't just stop and say, oh, that's good enough. That's okay. That's
right.
Good enough. We'll let you go from there. You know,
mm-hmm.
and in the end result, we all want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. You know,
yes,
all we can do is what he tells us to do. And we're just trying to live that right now. And you know what? I don't, you know, if somebody says, I won't say that I don't judge anybody, because I do, it's human nature, but I don't sit there and say, you're going to go to hell, because as soon as I do it, I turn around and look at myself. Yeah. Look at me. You know, I just cast the first stone, didn't I?
Yep.
You know,
and
so I don't out loud. In my mind, I do it, and I catch myself, but I'm like, I've got enough mess going on in my life, in my head. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I shouldn't be telling them how to live their life. Shouldn't be telling them they're wrong,
yes,
because, you know, I've got a big enough plank going on in my eye, as he says. So,
right. Well, Brother Ryan,
you know,
I know our time is getting ready to start to wind down. We got about 3 minutes left, man. I really am grateful that I got a chance, you know, that we got a chance to come together. This will not be, even though this is the first, I guarantee it will not be the last. Real quick, do you have any final words for anyone?
If anybody would like to come down and see what we do, pretty much every Tuesday, we head down to New Jerusalem Church. It's right off of Grand at the North Grand Water Tower. I can't think of the address off the top of my head. Pastor Williams has allowed us to use his facility there. We come down. We have, you know, sometimes we get a lot of donations of clothes. Sometimes it's personal hygiene and cleaning. We try to keep a consistent amount of food down there. If anybody, you know, wants to know more on either how they can be helped or want to help, you know, they can shoot us an email. It's House of Zadok. So that's HOUSEOFZADOK @gmail.com. You can also search for House of Zadok on Facebook. The website is www.facebook.com/Zadok99/. That's who we are. If there's anything we can do for you, I mean, we've chased down furniture, washers and dryers. There's no promise on when we can get stuff to you. We just start putting the work in and trying to help you out. And if somebody wants to just donate to us, they can do that through our Facebook page. And, you know, that's about it. I mean, we're just, like I said, we're families helping families. As far as House of Zadok goes, and Zadok Wrestling Club is about making an impact, and we're gonna make an impact in this city and turn things around and just do what God tells us to do. So, I thank you. I pray for all the listeners. I pray for blessings upon their hearts, and I pray for you and thank you and just thank you for the work you're doing. So keep following God's plan
for
you.
Thank you, bro.
Thanks, Tony.
Hey, man. I'm going to say a quick prayer as we get ready to end the show. You know, we'll be right back next Tuesday night right here on Kingdom Talk Radio. We're going to continue on this conversation of faith, the invisible power, at 7 o'clock. Father God, we come before you. Thank you just for sustaining us just another day, for taking us to our destinations and bringing us back home safe and sound in one piece. Thank you for watching over our families. Father, I pray for my brother Ron and the House of Zadok. Lord, I ask you that you continue to send help, unmeasurable help, along their path and along their way. Continue to strengthen them along with us in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and in love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You all always
Amen.
Keep in mind, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith come by hearing by the word of God. Faith without works is dead. This is Tony Dyson signing off for Kingdom Talk Radio. I love you. It ain't nothing you could do about it. See you all next week. Thanks, Brother Ryan.
Thank you.